5. The Prince of Elfheim is mildly inconvenienced. The odd curve of her ear was what he had noticed first. A roundness echoed in her cheeks and her mouth. Then it was the way her body looked solid, as though meant to take up space and weight in the world. When she moved, she left behind footprints in the forest floor. Because she didn't know how to glide silently, to disturb no leaf or branch, he felt smug to see how bad she was at even such an easy thing. It was only later that it disturbed him to think back on the shape of her boot in the soil. As though she was the only real thing in a land of ghosts. He had seen her before, he supposed. But at the palace school, he really looked. He noted her skirts, spattered with mud, and her hair ribbons, partially undone. He saw her twin sister, her double, as though one of them were a changeling child and not human at all. He saw the way they whispered together while they ate, smiling over private jokes. He saw the way they answered the instructors, as though they had any right to this knowledge, had any right to be sitting among their betters, to occasionally better their betters with those answers. And the one girl was good with a sword, instructed personally by the Grand General, as though she was not some by-blow of a faithless wife. When she stood up against him, she was so good that it was almost possible to believe she hadn't let him win. The seeds of Prince Cardin's resentment came full bloom. What was the point of her trying so hard? Why would she work like that when it would never win her anything? "Mortals," said Nikasia with a curl of her lip. He had never tried like that for anything in his life. "Jude," Cardin thought, hating even the shape of her name. "Jude."